Hello and welcome to the CGF podcast. My name is Louise Chester. I work in the communications team at the Consumer Goods Forum, and this is the latest episode in our new podcast series where we delve behind the scenes of our work and we share our thoughts about the challenges facing our industry, the planet, and its people. The Consumer Goods Forum is a CEO-led organization that helps the world's retailers and consumer goods manufacturers to collaborate alongside other key stakeholders to secure consumer trust and drive positive change, including greater efficiency. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking to Kavita Prakashmani, Global Conservation Director at the World Wildlife Fund. Kavita will be joining us as a speaker at this year's Sustainable Retail Summit in Berlin in October. So I wanted to take this opportunity to catch up with her ahead of the big event and find out more about her work at WWF and, of course, get her take on today's big issues. Hello, Kavita. Thank you so much for joining me today on the CGF podcast.
Hi, Louise. Very nice to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Super, no problem at all. So maybe you could get started with telling me and our listeners, of course, a little bit more about WWF's current priorities.
Sure. We've obviously, as a big environmental NGO, really committed to looking at protection and conservation of nature for the benefit of people. We have a number of areas of work, as you can imagine, ranging from wildlife to food to forests to oceans. And a number of these elements, of course, work collectively with companies. We see the corporate sector as a very important stakeholder in determining and delivering some of our conservation goals. So to highlight a few for you and the listeners, of course, deforestation is a big concern for us. We're losing forests very rapidly. In fact, deforestation rates have gone up significantly last year, but also beyond that, looking at conversion. So not just looking at the forest landscapes and habitats, but whether it's grasslands or peatlands or wetlands, many of these habitats are under threat from growing commodities and food production, which brings us to food. Food itself is an area of focus, of course, around the conversion-free deforestation-free production of major commodities, but also looking at food waste. A third of our food is being thrown away, whether it's on the way from farm to market or from market to our consumers. So that's a big concern about how we halve that by 2030. And of course, diets. So we do know that from a climate perspective, in terms of greenhouse gas emissions, but also in terms of the amount of land and resources we are using, our diet makes a difference. What we choose to eat has an impact on what we produce. So we're starting to look at that in terms of both nutrition and diets. We work a lot on our oceans work. So working with fisheries, fisheries are a threat. We have about a third of the fisheries now either overfished or at threat of overfishing. So we're very concerned about ensuring sustainable fisheries. Aquaculture is coming up. So how do we ensure good aquaculture practices as well? And then more broadly, if you look at the freshwater system, how our water is being used is of immediate concern to us, where many of our rivers are not flowing down to the sea anymore. We are over-abstracting water for agriculture and production, whether it's industrial production or food production, and of course for consumption as well. So our freshwater systems are a threat. We've seen about 83% of the species of freshwater species are now declining. We're really at an extinction rate of these species very highly in terms of freshwater and oceans, but also on land. So that's a big concern for us. And last but not the least, pollution and waste. So plastics, which is a big focus area for the CGF, is definitely an area of huge concern for us, with 8 million tons of plastic waste going into the oceans every year, which is about a truckload a minute, every minute. It is really shocking. And I think all of us have seen the photographs of turtles and whales dying on beaches, but it's now also in our water and our food. So many areas of concern and many expectations for business to step up to play their part in dealing with some of these concerns.
Gosh, that is a very broad range of topics. You've got a lot on your plate over there. And it sounds like there is huge overlap with our work at the CGF. So you mentioned the corporate sector as an important stakeholder for you and your work. What do you think is really the role of the sector in driving this positive change? What could we be doing more of?
It's a really good question. And I think, you know, primarily, Luis, what it comes down to is as we look at what we want from our global deals, we're looking at a new deal for nature and for people. And one of the areas of concern for us is really about production and consumption. And we would want to have at least the footprint of production and consumption halved by 2030. And that really includes how we produce all our food, our fibers, our materials, our, you know, transport and our housing and everything else, but also how we consume a lot of these things. And I think businesses have, of course, a core role to play in that area. Primarily, we start looking at the food system, which is responsible for, say, 75% of deforestation is caused by food, 70% of water is used in food production, about a quarter of greenhouse gases come from food. So that's obviously a really big one for us. Our energy system, you know, whether we're using renewable energy, and interestingly and thankfully, the cost of renewable energy is going down. So that's a real incentive for businesses to be producing and using that. But also if you start looking at how companies can change consumer behavior. So you know, we know that we can create a different kind of consumer consumption pattern by different products, by innovation, by changing, for example, on packaging, by going back to some of the basics of what packaging is about. So there's a number of things that companies can do, and I would just break it down into what we produce in terms of the products, how we produce them, where we produce them, and how they're actually used, and how do we look at that whole circular system in that context. And I think companies are very much at the heart of that economic model of growth and consumption that we have.
So I wanted to ask you about your new project on plastics called Resource. And I read that you partnered with businesses to redesign how plastic is sourced, used, and disposed. Could you tell us a bit more about the project and how exactly you are working to engage with companies on that?
Absolutely. So Resource Plastic is a new platform that we've launched to work with companies. We've done a lot of work with companies over the years in terms of material use and especially plastics around bioplastics and others. But this is part of a broader plastics campaign and program that we're now running called No Plastic in Nature by 2030. Mm-hmm. That's the whole goal, and that's where we're headed. And of course, within that, we're working with governments around regulation and cities around waste management and consumers around change. But a very important part of that is Resource Plastic and working with companies in terms of exactly like you said, how do we source plastic, how do we use it, and how do we design for it? But if I can go back to the basic, what we really want to do is to reduce the amount of plastic that we have in the system. And that's where we start, what is our starting point, even with companies. We can go into a circular economy in terms of like ensuring that all plastic that we use is either recyclable or compostable or biodegradable, or that we recover it at the end and bring it back into the system. But we cannot cope with the sheer quantity of plastic that's there right now. So looking very primarily at saying, how do we reduce plastic in the first place? How do we close that tap? Then starting to look at saying, how do we design the plastic so that it's actually being designed for reuse or designed for recyclability? We have too many different polymers and different materials that make the system difficult. And then how do companies actually help invest in the waste management and recovery and bring it back into that closed circular loop? And so we've got this Resource Plastic platform, which we realize is that a number of companies struggle with the how. You can get them to make commitment, and we're working with the Ellen MacArthur Foundation on their global commitment, which has about 250 companies signed up. And then we say, okay, now you deliver it. So we're really looking at the how we work with companies in that context, which could include everything from prioritization of where the biggest impacts are, implementation of some of these core ideas, like innovation ideas, how do we get say dispensables with no packaging and reusable packaging. How do we look at, say, on the retail store reduction in packaging around, say, fresh food, while also saying that it has a base score of like, if we want to reduce food waste, we need to keep the food safe. So, you know, really working with companies in terms of that prioritization and implementation, but also collaboration working across the value chain of how plastic is produced, what plastic is used for what, and how do we bring it back through the waste system with governments, with consumers, with other companies, with NGOs. And then last but not the least, really thinking about how we actually measure and are sure that all of these activities are having an impact. We believe that 100 companies collectively working at scale could reduce 10 million tons of plastic waste. And that could make a significant difference. We have 6 companies that have signed up with us right now, including McDonald's, P&G, Starbucks, Coca-Cola Company, TerraPack, Dr. Pepper's. And we're working with other NGOs like Ocean Conservancy and Ellen MacArthur Foundation to really test and get leaders to make that dent in the plastic pollution. So we actually reach our aim of no plastic in nature.
I think we're obviously on exactly the same page with that, because last year in October, our board issued a statement in support of Ellen MacArthur Foundation's New Plastics Economy, and our working groups have started working on all these different issues. There's a lot going on behind the scenes at the moment, and thank goodness for that, because progress does need to be made.
Very excited about CGF companies picking this up and keen to see how we can support, because I think we need to learn and innovate and share very, very rapidly. I mean, we're running out of time, yeah. And we, you know, by 2050, there'll be more plastic in the ocean than fish at the rate we're going. So, you know, the urgency is here.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's frightening, your statistic about a truckload of plastic every minute.
Let me give you another statistic. We're also finding that about 5 grams of plastic are ingested by humans on a weekly basis. We don't know what the health impact is.
No.
But we know that it exists in our water and in our salt and in our beer and in fish. And these are microplastics, so you don't actually see them very clearly. And 5 grams is equivalent to a credit card. So a credit card worth of plastic every week.
That is absolutely frightening.
Absolutely.
So switching gears onto food waste, that's another big topic that we're going to be covering at the Sustainable Retail Summit. From farm to fork, here's a stat for you. Currently 1.3 billion tons of food is wasted each year. So a lot of the work that we do on food waste is around driving progress on measurement and reporting strategies with our members. So what do you think from the WWF perspective? What's the top things that companies can be doing on food waste?
Food waste is so critically important right now, because as we said, you know, food is really taking up a lot of resources, whether it's land, whether it's water, or whether it's emissions. So anything we can do to reduce the impact of food is in the top of our priority list. But of course, the worst is to use all those resources, produce the food, and then just lose it. Whether we lose it to, you know, waste on the farm or waste on the infrastructure, getting it from farm to fork, or, you know, people like you and me not knowing what to do with the food in our fridge, and actually a lot of it goes waste. So we are really keen to be looking at it across the board on all of these different dimensions. And of course, you know, primarily, I mean, I'll speak a little bit about just the food loss that happens, but how do we get better storage? How do we get better transportation? Mm. How do we get, you know, good, you know, infrastructure in place to enable that food to actually reach the market? But what we can all do, and I think especially for the CGF companies, is around, you know, the waste. Once it's in our markets and in our stores, how can we ensure that we use it sustainably and we don't lose it? I think companies can do a lot. And I think, again, different companies at different stages. So we do a lot of work with hotels. We have a hotel kitchen program that works with hotels in terms of how do you plan a buffet? How do you measure what is the amount of food waste through different delivery systems, like, you know, whether it's a la carte or it's, you know, as we said, the big buffets that we all love, or it's just portion sizes. So, you know, really looking at thinking systematically about how that might be at a hotels. How do we work with retail stores so that there is less waste from the retail store? So, you know, we used to have this thing in the UK around crooked carrots were not allowed to be sold because they didn't look good. And there was this weird thing. And you're just like, it's still a carrot. It's pretty darn good, right? And so some of these regulations in terms of what you can sell or you can't sell, or how long they are, or looking at expiration dates. I mean, like, you know, are we really sensible about it? And can people, you know, do we need to give, say, can you not look at a fruit and saying whether it's good enough to eat or not and make sensible choices versus being really pedantic about what that end date is. Like, you know, you must not do it after 2 days. I mean, this is very simple things. Or what do you do with food waste from cafes? Like, how can we use it to either, you know, make it available to people who can't afford the food and have sensible recovery systems on that? So there are numerous amount of things that we can do across the chain in terms of how we use use our food and how we reduce that food waste. And of course, at consumer level, really good education, sensible purchasing, not, you know, too much of like buy one, get one free. I mean, like, you don't want people to take so much food home that they don't know what to do with it. Good recipes, you know, good using chefs to get energy, get innovative ideas of what you do with those six little, you know, bowls of leftovers that are in your fridge that you don't know what to do with, right? I mean, we need to all have a different relationship with our food and really value it for what it is, as a bounty that we're getting from these environmental resources that are sometimes not replenishable. So again, we need companies to look at their own operations, look at their consumers' needs and wants, and then look at how we can recover and protect that food in the system.
Ah, yes, you made me think of a project that was done by Barilla and Carrefour, a joint initiative that they presented a few years ago at SRS. So if I remember correctly, they had stalls in Carrefour shops with chefs showing consumers how to create pasta dishes with vegetables that were about to go off that they would have otherwise thrown away.
And I think, you know, it's the relationship we have with our food, right? To think about it, to appreciate it, to, you know, even find innovative ways of preparing it. It's part of our heritage and our culture and, you know, who we are growing up. And we somehow kind of lost that connection with food.
Yeah, I think we've become a bit detached from our food, haven't we? I'm not sure that the average person thinks all that much about the resources that actually go into the food on their plate. I think we also take for granted that we can pretty much get whatever we want at any time of the year. We don't think about the carbon footprint there either. I mean, here in Paris, I can get an avocado any time I want.
Yeah, and I love avocados, but, you know, it also uses a lot of water. So, yes, you know, having that cognizant of saying, I would love it, but I will treat it with the due respect that it deserves.
Yes, it's a luxury.
Consume it as for what it is. So exactly right.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier that obviously the WWF is very well known for its work on deforestation. The CGF has also been working for a number of years on this topic since the launch of our resolution in 2010. So in your opinion, let's be honest, do you feel that progress has been made, and where does the opportunity to scale this up going forwards lie?
It's a really good question, Luis, and we've been thinking about this very long and hard recently, also because of the 2020 deadline, and we were there right at the start with CGF when they launched the no deforestation and the value chain commitment. And actually, we were very proud of that commitment that was made by the CGF. It was very forward-looking and very complete, because it was just like, it's not a this much reduction, that much reduction. It was like, there'll be no deforestation. Mm. And over the last, you know, 9 years now since then, a lot of effort has been made. We've seen at least increasing commitments from companies, increasing recognition of whether it's soy or beef or palm oil or increasingly cocoa and other commodities and the deforestation that they're creating. So we've seen individual companies take action, but we haven't seen the impact on the ground. As I said, we're still seeing deforestation rates increase. And that is now coming to the point where we're like, we really need to all buckle down and act collectively. So, you know, we will not meet the commitment by 2020. We would have learned a lot and had some really good wins along the way. So if you look at what happened in the Amazon with the soy moratorium and the companies really stepping up to say we will not buy soy was a good win. We're now seeing in the Cerrado, which is the grasslands. So again, looking beyond deforestation to not conversion is starting to come together. We have the statement of support from the Cerrado manifesto where many companies have signed in, including some of the members. We also are looking at, you know, efforts that are being made in the palm oil sector with at least, you know, RSPO at the highest it's ever been, which is the responsible palm oil certification scheme. So that's about 20-21%. But beyond that, what we would really want companies to be now doing is to be focusing on impact on the ground. So yes, we want commitments. Yes, we want the supply chain to be much more robust and companies to work with their suppliers on that. And we would like companies to actually start looking directly on the impact on the ground. So whether it's landscape approaches or jurisdictional approaches, working with the communities, with the farmers, with the governments, in the context of these habitats that are so so vulnerable right now, that we actually start seeing the protection and conservation of these on the ground, while also ensuring that we have production, because the communities need it. We need the food. We also need the incomes and the socioeconomic development of the communities. So again, we need to be a little more hands-on than hands-off, and work both through the chain and on the ground. And last to say is, the NGOs have heard the companies say over the last few years that it's not clear in terms of what all the NGOs want, different asks coming from different NGOs, not clarity on how we're defining things, not clarity on what we're right. expecting and measuring things. And now we have an accountability framework initiative, which has created this framework that should answer all of those questions, should bring us all together in terms of really clearly defining where we need to be going and how we need to be working with that. And again, organizations like the Tropical Forest Alliance are really pushing that forward. So much more needs to be done, but we have some wins along the way, and hopefully we can translate that into real collaborative action on the ground.
Yes, absolutely. And in the coming months, we will be communicating about the sunsetting of the CGF resolution, on what we've learned in the past 9 years working towards this goal, and of course the next steps forward on this journey to solving this issue. So on the topic of keeping momentum, I wanted to talk to you about an issue that we certainly have as an industry, and I think is endemic to the world of sustainability and everyone who works on it. And that is, how do we maintain focus on the issues that have been there for a while, such as deforestation, climate change, when new topics like plastics comes to mind, keep coming up and diverting our attention? I must add, plastics has obviously been there for a while, but in recent years it was pushed to the front of the agenda. So, and undoubtedly there will be new issues in the next few years that we'll have to shift our focus to deal with. So in your opinion, how do we keep that focus as an industry and not lose sight of the goals that we have, and not sort of spread ourselves too thin?
It's a really good point, Luis, and I think we see that we can see, as and it's partly us as well. Like, we are raising the issues of deforestation and plastics and climate and all of these issues, and animal rights and other things will come up as well. So it's not just about the companies finding the focus; it's also about us finding the focus and then holding companies to account for that. But I think some of these issues are just really, really urgent. I mean, I don't think we can take our eye off the ball in terms of deforestation and conversion of our natural habitats. We are at a risk right now for tipping point of really going into an area where nature will might just collapse on us. I mean, if you look at the Amazon, if we lose another 10-15% of the Amazon, there are concerns that the Amazon will stop existing. It'll become a grassland because the water system and the what it produces in terms of just rainfall and other benefits of like carbon storage will just collapse. We will not have agriculture. So, we're looking at a point of saying that this is the time to be really focusing on protecting and conserving and sustainably using some of our natural resources, especially around the habitats. And as I said, we're now looking at a new deal for nature and people, and we really want the companies behind it. And we have a number of companies that are coming up for Business for Nature Coalition. And so I would say that deforestation and conversion use of these natural resources definitely stay very high on the agenda. And we hope CGF will continue to be leaders on that. And then, of course, there will be new issues that will come up. So we will get better at trying to identify them slightly earlier in the thing. But we also realize still it's a crisis. It doesn't get people's attention to it. So again, it's not, there are no silver bullets, unfortunately, for any of these issues. They're not quick fixes either. And some of these just need system changes. We need to be looking at how do we come together, not just as companies, but how do we come together as governments and citizens and NGOs with the companies to define some of these things. So, again, companies can't resolve them on their own. They have a really big role to play. And I think, we'll be expecting companies to also be advocates for change and asking governments to step up and better regulation around this. So we're raising the base. Very often we tend to work with the leaders, but you know, there are many companies that are not really stepping up to take action.
Indeed.
So so again, you know, from our side, there's definitely a need for better production and consumption, but also very strongly a need for protection of our habitats. And so, you know, we do need companies to be looking at these proactively rather than, you know, trying to resolve them reactively. And I think that's where, you know, much more collaboration, much more early conversations across all stakeholders is so very important.
Mm. So I'd like to hear a little bit more about your personal views on where you would like to see the planet in, say, 10 to 15 years from now.
Absolutely. So going back to what we're calling around this New Deal for Nature and People, we're really looking at three areas of work, which is our vision of what a sustainable future would be, with the aim that by 2050, it's all sustainable, like we're living in a really sustainable planet within planetary boundaries and still thriving as a species. And so the three areas that we're looking at is really protecting all our remaining natural habitats that we have, you know, whether it's forests or grasslands or oceans or, you know, wetlands, all the different biomes that we have about half of our natural habitats remaining. And we do want to make sure that those are, you know, protected or conserved or sustainably used, that they are functioning ecosystems. So that's a really big one for us. And of course, you can see how that plays off across companies. The second one for us as WWF is, of course, you know, protecting our species. And that does include us. We know that many species are at the brink of extinction or already going extinct, and we do want to have zero extinction due to human-induced extinction rates and to make sure that populations are thriving. Like, you know, we need to be able to share this world with all the other species that live on it. And last and most relevant to the CGF is halving the footprint of our production and our consumption. And that halving is definitely looking at the food system, looking at the energy system, looking at infrastructure, all the roads and dams and everything else that are getting built across through our protected areas, through forest areas, through you know, species rangelands, but also dams and rivers that stop free-flowing rivers, you know, coastal infrastructure that is stopping the mangroves and stopping, you know, fish breeding and things. So really looking at that from a context of food, energy, infrastructure, and definitely waste and pollution. So, you know, that's our vision of saying zero loss of natural habitats, zero extinction of species, and halving our footprint for production and consumption by 2030.
So based on the answer you just gave and the huge array of aspirations that you have, I think I know the answer to my final question, but I'm still going to ask because I like to ask this to everybody on the podcast. So what keeps you personally inspired and motivated to get out of bed in the morning and keep working on this?
Well, what does keep me awake at night?
maybe that's the question. Actually,
is worrying about all of these things. And as you said, you know, as WWF, and you know, we take our role very seriously as being the, you know, from the conservation angle, but also linking it back into people and looking at development. It's very often these trade-offs that, you know, how do we create the kind of economic growth and sustainable growth that we want while protecting all of these different biomes and these different conservation outcomes that we want. But I think what is inspiring and motivating right now, frankly, I have to say, is the next generation, is looking at things like Fridays Forever or Extinction Rebellion, or, you know, the young people coming up and saying, you know, this is our world, it's our future, you have to step up. And that might actually change the way we think about it and the way we, the actions that we take. So that energy is very inspiring. And we are seeing some of the governments respond to that. We are also seeing a lot of governments step away from it, which is a real problem right now in many countries, especially in the Americas and well, all over actually. But I think, you know, the energy that we're seeing of being solution-based, companies coming out and saying, let's work in collaboration, and the youth really picking up the mantle of the environmental and sustainability agenda is inspiring. And, you know, saving some of the species and seeing some of our beautiful habitats stay on forever is definitely motivating.
Absolutely. So thank you so much, Kavita. I feel like there's so much more to say and we've literally not even scratched the surface, but we will have to end there. So I want to thank you for the time you've spent chatting to me today. It's been extremely interesting.
Thank you so much, Louise. Really enjoyed the conversation. And again, as we said, lots to do and very much looking forward to working with CGF companies and other stakeholders in, you know, what is our collective ambition of a sustainable world.
Thank you for tuning into this episode. For any listeners who want to find out more about the mission and work of the CGF, as well as the upcoming Sustainable Retail Summit, where you'll be able to come and continue the conversation with Kavita, you can visit our website at www.theconsumergoodsforum.com. Please do subscribe to the podcast for more episodes coming very soon. Thank you and goodbye.